in your Bible, Mark chapter 4, if you're there, let's stand there for just a little bit. Let you stretch a moment. I'll read the text and try to get right into the message this morning and let you out before the folks get ahead of you at the McDonald's, all right? The Bible says here in verse number 35, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now I want you to look at verse number 41, and here's our thought for our message this morning. It's the question that the disciples ask themselves and each other. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? That's our thought. Let's try to answer that this morning. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this time to be here. Thank you for this church pastor and this wonderful ministry. And I pray, God, that you bless. Lord, as we go into the special meeting and revival time, Lord, we don't want to just meet. We want you to show up and speak to our hearts and give us what we need, what you desire for us to have. Lord, I pray that you'd enable me to preach with your power and with your fullness of spirit. And Father, I pray, Lord God, if there's one that's not saved today, you've saved their soul. And I pray for Christians that may be struggling, may be hurt, may be going through a difficult time, to get the victory, to see what manner of man the Lord Jesus Christ is. I pray this in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What manner of man is this? I'm sure you've got a number of favorite hymns as you go through the song book and you flip the pages and you come across them. You might come across Victory in Jesus or Nothing But the Blood or And Can It Be or He Lives or some other hymn, Blessed Assurance, In the Garden. One of my favorite hymns is Amazing Grace. I think it's number 2 in your song book. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That song, Amazing Grace, was written by a fellow by the name of John Newton. John Newton was a wicked man by all accounts. He lived his life on the sea, and he became a ship captain himself, and he became a slave trader in those days years ago. A wicked man. Had some influence as a youth to the gospel, but rejected it. He was very wicked and vile. If there was anyone that deserved to go to hell, others would testify that it was John Newton. But John Newton came to the Lord Jesus Christ and his life was turned around and he became a preacher of the gospel. And that song that we sing, a favorite hymn around the world, is Amazing Grace, a song that he penned. It's testifying to the manner of man, the manner of Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ is. You know, many of you, the late Dr. Carl Hatch. I used to imitate him years ago and had a lot of fun. He was probably, and still is, as far as his legacy, one of the greatest soul winners in modern time that ever lived. He was bold. He wasn't afraid to share the gospel with anyone under any circumstance at any time. A bold man of God. He grew up. He was a drunkard. He committed, he said, every crime but murder. And he intended on killing his wife in a drunken stupor. He fell down between two cars and nearly froze to death. An old preacher lived next door to him and was praying for him every day. And after a while, after some time had passed, Carl Hatch couldn't stand it any longer. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. And his life was changed. His soul was saved and his life was rearranged. And he became a preacher. And he's preached here. He's influenced your pastor and myself and each of those that he's mentioned. Hey, what I'm saying is the Lord Jesus Christ can take the vilest sinner and make him clean. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ can take the proudest religious individual and set them straight. He can take the moral, upright, decent, and self-proclaimed righteous and show them their need of himself and change their life. That's the manner of man the Lord Jesus Christ is. As I look through the scripture, now I love this account. I mean, there's just something about how the Bible just comes alive off of the pages. I can imagine. I love fishing. I love boats. I love being on the water and all that kind of thing. And when I've traveled to Israel, I have loved to visit the Sea of Galilee. It's kind of a heart-shaped body of water. It's a sea. It's called a sea, but it's really a large lake is what it is. And I think it's about 13 miles across. It's not huge. You can see to the other side. But so much of our New Testament took place around the setting that surrounded the Sea of Galilee. The Lord Jesus fed the multitude on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't too far from there. Capernaum, where the Lord Jesus adopted it as his hometown and performed so many miracles. Hey, he raised the dead. He caused the blinded eyes to see. He caused the deaf ears to hear. He caused the lame to walk. All of those things, many of them happened around the Sea of Galilee. On one such occasion, after Jesus had been busy working, healing, ministering to the people, he beckons to his disciples to get into a ship, and they were to sail to the other side. Now, I don't have time to develop where he was going and what he was doing, but that is another message in itself. Jesus went across to see one individual and return the next day. Don't tell me Jesus isn't concerned about each individual, because he is. One man he went to see, he redeemed and restored him and returned back to the other side.
Amen.
And on that said occasion, Jesus gets into the boat. He's tired. You can account from that. I mean, good night. The wife and I, we were out fishing yesterday. We went out fishing and the wind was blowing and the fog was setting in. And I was running this and hitting into this and running into that and getting hung up on this. And man, by the time all that was done, 8 o'clock, I was tired. No, it was a little after that. It was about 11:30 or so. 11:30, 12 o'clock, and we traveled the day before. Man, I was weary. We got back to the cabin that you guys so graciously supplied to us. And you know, brother, wife went in the air conditioned, laid down, took a nap. Me, I got on that porch. It wraps all the way around that cabin. And I sat in a chair and I just had myself a snooze. I was there. I could hear the traffic going by. The birds were singing. The cattle were lowing. The fish were fishing. And I mean, I was just having a time on that porch. Wind was a blowing. I thought, boy, this is not heaven. It's Texas. Amen. Oh, my. And I rested there a while because I was tired. All right. Well, the Lord Jesus, he was got them disciples in that boat. Now, you can see this boat. I mean, it wasn't a ship. It wasn't a yacht. It was a boat, maybe 18, 20 foot. Boat. He got there, and there was enough of the hinder part where the Bible says that he was asleep on a pillow. Now, I was wondering if he's kind of curled up on that pillow. I don't know. No, it means he rested his head on a pillow. And he was back there, and he was asleep. And all of a sudden, they started going across, and the winds. Now, if you know anything about that region, there are currents that come across the mountain range, and within an instant, that wind can be stirred up, turbulence, and a storm could just pop up. And we were on a tour one time and we had such a storm, you know, just pop up. And man, it was raining. It was sideways, man, raining water and everything. And then one of the preachers was preaching. He said, "Peace be still." And I almost thought about walking on water at that time. But I thought better of it. All right. But really, he was preaching and man, it got calm and it was just like that. Well, the wind and the waves began to flood that boat. Jesus was asleep on a pillow and the disciples rushed back to him. "Carest thou not, Master, that we perish?" He awakes. What does he do? All he does is he speaks to that storm. I'll get to this, and I don't want to get ahead of this, but that's all the Lord's got to do.
Amen. Right.
Is speak to your heart. And He can calm the storm that troubles your soul. Whew, I could preach there for a little bit. But instantly, it was a calm. And the disciples marveled. And they look at themselves, and you can imagine that. You can put yourself in that position. Wow. What manner of man is this that the winds and waves obey his voice? Imagine this. The other day, all of us were watching the news as Florence was coming inland. For days, that big old hurricane was out there brewing. And for days, they had been putting out warnings along that whole coastal region to evacuate, weren't they? They had people left there and they were saying, "Get ready, get ready, catastrophic, get ready, get ready, get ready." And it was coming, and it did leave in its path a great amount of devastation, death, destruction, all of that. Imagine, in such an instance, the Lord just spoke, "Peace be still," and that obeyed. You would say too, "Wow, what manner of man is this?" Well, the Lord Jesus spoke. And the disciple says, "What manner?" So let's consider this man, Jesus. What manner of man is this? Well, from the text, let's consider this. Number one, he is a man who invites us to travel with him. Look at verse 35 and verse 36. "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, 'Let us pass over unto the other side.'" Unto the other side. Now listen, when you consider this, you want to look carefully at it. Don't run over it too quickly. He says, "Let us pass over to the other side." This is an invitation from the Lord. It's an invitation that's loaded with promises. All right? He says, "Let us." Oh, here's the promise of inclusion. "Let us." He said, "Let's go together." Hey, you know something? The Lord Jesus, He's willing to leave no one out. Hey, the gospel that we preach is an any man gospel. For He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus is looking for you. If you're outside of His fellowship, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, He's looking for you. Just as in that parable of the 99 who were left behind and the shepherd went after the one. The Lord Jesus wants no one left out of the fold. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's the manner of man the Lord Jesus Christ is. And we see the promise of inclusion. And you see the promise of fellowship. He says, pass over. Hey, fellowship, to pass over. In other words, He says, "I want you to go with me." So He's including me. He's including me in His fellowship. And He wants me to travel with Him to pass over. That means that I'm going to get to spend time with Him. You and I have a Savior that desires that we spend time with Him, and we spend time, He spend time with us. We see another promise in there. He says, "Unto the other side." Oh, we've got the promise of inclusion. We've got the promise of fellowship. And we've got the promise of safe passage. He's going to see me all the way through. Hey, look, you need to understand, I'm not holding on to Jesus this morning. He's a holding on to me. And when I got saved, all of me got saved. Hey, when I got saved, it was forever. And friend, when when you got saved, He got all of you. And when you got saved, it was forever. Aren't you glad of that? What manner of man is this? This is a man who invites us to travel with Him. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you given your life to Him? His invitation is simply, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you heard that invitation? Have you received? Have you come to Jesus just like you are? If not, He's waiting. Because the manner of man that Jesus is, He's a man that invites us to travel with Him. You know, there's another thought here that I see in this passage of Scripture. He is a man not only who invites you to travel with Him, but He is a man who is with us in all the storms of life. In verse number 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You know what? The Lord has given us a picture, really, of life. Hey, life is filled with trials and troubles. Hey, life is filled with circumstances sometimes that we don't understand and we didn't ask for. But the good news is, we have the assurance that the manner of man that Jesus is that He goes through the storm with us. Hey, the Bible tells us, when you have a care, when you have a worry, when you have a concern, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Oh, you're never alone as long as you've got Jesus. And you know what, friend? Jesus is alive forever, eternity past and eternity future. He is eternal. Amen. Oh, friend, aren't you glad we have a Savior that's in the storm with us? Amen. Oh, living there in Baton Rouge, we had our number of storms come through. I remember the first hurricane that I remember goes back to the 60s. I mean, that's not you know, long after Noah and the Ark, all right? In the 60s, all right? And it was Hurricane Betsy. I think it was about 65 or it was about 66. And we had this little house on a foundation, no basement or anything. You can't have a basement in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. If you do, you got an indoor swimming pool is what you got. All right? But we've got this simple ranch home on a foundation, and they say get into the strongest interior wall. And my dad got us all, my brother, my sister, myself, and my mother, and he got a mattress off their bed, and he folded it up like a U. And we got in the middle of it, and I'll never forget. We was listening to the wind just blow. We could hear it outside, and the windows are rattling, and the rain was beating down on the roof of the house, and I couldn't have been 5 or 6 years old. And I looked up with a frightful look into my dad's face, and you know what? He just grabbed me, pulled me under himself, and I still remember having my face pressed up against his unshaven beard there, and how rough it was, and I remember how he smelled, and I thought, man, whatever this storm may bring, I'm going to be okay because Daddy's got a hold of me.
Amen.
That gave me comfort as just a little child. Now, the God of all comfort can do much more than that.
Amen.
Oh, we woke up the next morning. We had trees falling right and left. I don't know. It was only God that allowed them trees to miss our house. But we had three oaks, one in the back, one on the side, and one in the front. They fell like a U. The house was in the middle, one this way, and this way. And in any instance, those trees could have fallen and crushed that house, and we could have perished in that storm. Oh, but God saw us through. You know, I just believe that God had those trees fall this way and that way because of a praying mama and a praying daddy. Oh, friend, I want you to know this morning, our God goes with us through the difficulties of life, through the storms of life. Hey, there may be someone, maybe it has to do with job or finances, or maybe it's a marriage. My wife and I got a call or a message from a couple that's facing marital difficulties and problems, and it breaks our heart, and it's a challenge nonetheless. But you know what? God can go through that storm with you. Hey, we've got folks in our church, no doubt like you got folks in your church, that have medical issues, cancer and other things that are not reversible. I'm saying to you, we got a God that goes through the storm with us. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, what manner of man is this? I got to finish this morning. I got to finish this. He's a man that invites you to travel with Him. He is a man who is with us in all the storms of life. I don't have time to talk about the different storms and the purpose for which they come, but I will say this. Through those storms, we can see the strength of the Lord God. Amen. Especially when He speaks, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." But let me just share this last thought with you in closing this morning. We see that Jesus is a man who is up to the occasion. He is up to the occasion. Go back to Mark chapter 5, and we see in the scripture, verse 38, chapter 4, verse 38. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and sea and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, saying one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" What I'm saying is He's up to the occasion. Whatever the situation calls for, He is up to the occasion. But you may be thinking, "But you don't understand my situation, Pastor. You don't understand what we are going through. You don't know what I understand what I'm facing." I may not, Pastor may not, but you know what? It never takes God by surprise.
Amen.
It never takes Him by surprise. He is always up to the occasion. He's just what you need. And He comes right on time. Right on time. Best way to illustrate that point is perhaps telling you a story you're familiar with. There was a plane that was traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast. It was going to be a long flight. From coast to coast, three people boarded that flight and took their seat. There was a middle-aged man that took his place in the seat next to the window. There was an elderly lady that took her seat along the aisle. And then there was a young girl in pigtails, about 9 years old, with color books and a stuffed teddy bear sitting in the middle seat. And as they took off, the captain came on and told them what was ahead for them. They said for the most part of the journey, they would be fine. The skies would be clear and wouldn't be any problem. But further west they got, they supposed that they would enter into some turbulent air. And the ride could get a bit rough. So they're underway. And they're talking. The little girl's busying herself with a color book and paying attention to her bear and so forth. And just as the pilot had predicted, the further they traveled, the more turbulent the air became. And that plane began to shift and rock and dip and bump. And if you've been on those planes, you know that they can get pretty terrifying at times. Especially when you're up in the air and you know, hey, if this thing falls out of the sky, I better know the Lord, okay? And so they were dipping and diving, and there were folks that were calling for those little goodie bags. Little goodie bags with nothing in it, and you put in, you don't take out, okay? And they were getting nervous, and with each bump, you'd hear someone gasp. All the while, that little girl just kept coloring, and she kept playing with her little bear. The fellow that was looking out the window was holding on. I'm not sure he wasn't counting beads. I'm not sure. The little lady that was on the end, I mean, good night. I mean, her hair, dude, plumb melted down to her shoulders, and it was flat, all of that she had poofed up. It wasn't long, pretty soon, they came out of that, and it was smooth sailing. Out of curiosity, the woman turned to the little girl in the middle and she said, "Honey, I don't think I've ever seen a display of courage in all my life. Not once in all of that storm during that turbulence did you even flinch. What's your secret?" The little girl with her little bear in her lap, still with color in hand, said, "My daddy's the pilot, and he's got this." Now, I'm saying to you, friend, you may come through a turbulent time, a difficult time, a time that could shake you to your core, but you need to understand, he's up to the occasion.
Amen.
What manner of man is this?
Amen.
What manner of man is the Lord Jesus? He invites you to come on the journey with him. Are you saved? Do you know that you know that you know that if you were to die, you're going to heaven? Jesus invites you. He says, "Come, come, come, come. I'm so glad I came and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior as a 16-year-old boy. I've been saved ever since." Amen.
Amen.
Hey, he invites you to travel with him, to fellowship with you. Hey, he comes along with you on this journey. He comes along with you. And through this journey, you can walk with him and talk with him. Amen. What manner of man is this? He's a manner of man that's up to any occasion that you find yourself pressed against. He's up to the occasion.
Amen.
Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Hey, as a Christian, do you just need to maybe think back to what those young people sung a little bit earlier about where you'd be and what he's done in your life? Hey, remember Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hey, you may have came in with a certain attitude, even to church this morning, but because of Jesus and you being reminded of just what kind of man he is, you might go back different than when you came. And isn't that what revival is?